Cubberty on 2FM with Super Value Travel Insurance. Holidaying at home or abroad? Don't worry about a thing with Great Value Travel Insurance at supervalue.ie.
We are going to talk to Johan van der Meer. Johan, tell me how to pronounce your name so I don't make a bags of it.
Johan van der Meer.
I'll leave that with you, but thank you so much for joining us on the program this morning, Johan. We're talking about what's called food styling, and you know, if we go to let's just take it to a fast food restaurant, you look up and you see that lovely burger and you think, God, I want that, and then what lands on your lap is something that may have fallen on the floor twice before it was wrapped up and shoved in a box. So tell me a little bit about the styling of food. Who does it, why do they do it, and how do they do it?
Well, food styling is the art of making food look appetizing. It's mainly used by advertising, but also many other medias. So, for example, what you described there would be what a food stylist would do would necessarily present that food in a way that it looks appetizing and good enough to eat. That doesn't necessarily usually translate once it needs to be made so fast, but... Yes. We have an ethical responsibility to make sure that the food that we sell and present is what we've done. So all that's happened there is things have been taken and chosen with a lot more care, precision, and lit right, and cooked perfectly. And I'm not saying it doesn't get cooked perfectly anywhere else, but what I mean is like there's actually time and effort. And it can take quite a while to actually achieve that.
So do you prepare the food for the photographer, or is that it, or do you do both?
No, I don't do photography. Photography is an art in itself, and something that I would not anywhere attempt to try. I basically make the food camera ready.
Okay.
In a case like that, you would go over a brief, you'd consult with the advertising agency, the art director, what their vision is, and then you need to kind of give your input as well as to what is realistic, what will read well on camera, and so on. Yeah.
So where would we typically see the results of your labors?
Everywhere.
Yeah.
I was going through a shopping center the other day, and somebody behind me had a sandwich that I had styled the ingredients for. Which it kind of feels amazing when you kind of see that, or you walk past the billboard and you see something up that I think last year we did. It was last year I did one for Just Eat that I Eat, and we put like a spire, and we put like a kebab on the spire, and we did the towers in what do you call those? A
pigeon house.
Pigeon house, yeah. So we did like rotisserie chicken between that. So it's stuff like that that's really amazing.
So you prepare the food for that image?
I do, yeah.
Oh, okay. So is it a craft in itself to make the food look that good?
You need to have a very strong knowledge of food, because you need to know how it's going to react, how it's going to translate onto camera. You need a strong knowledge base if you're ever thinking of kind of going into that thing. Originally it would have been home economists that would have been used.
Yeah.
They had a scientific approach to food, that necessarily weren't out there. So once advertising started taking off in photography, they were the first go-to people to be used by that. And
if ever I've worked with an advertising agency, which is very rarely, but very occasionally, and sometimes I often find they overthink things, and you could be there for 5 hours in what could take 5 minutes. And I know they're only doing their job, and they want to get it right. But I've often felt that you can, to use the analogy with you here, over egg the omelette. So can you find yourself spending a lot of time with an egg or a strawberry where you feel, come on, like it's an egg and a strawberry?
Yeah, you can, but then you also have to kind of keep in mind that it's not just that person. There's a chain leading higher up, and everybody is responsible. And ultimately, you're the stylist. And let's say a campaign like that could cost, a food campaign can cost anything from 100,000 to 500,000. And yes, it is your time, and that's the expertise that you're being paid for. So there could be overthinking, but there's reason for that. Is that there's so many people involved that if it goes wrong at the base, then it needs to be redone, and that's a lot of time and energy.
I understand you were doing a shoot not so long ago that involved egg and soldiers.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, no, it was asking that's going to be for billboards. So, and that was a long day. You know, it's like
why
there is, well, it's about the lighting first of all. What's happening there is that you need a really incredible photographer that knows exactly how to play with light. And basically, if you're working in a dark studio and you're recreating sunlight. So there's all those nuances there. It's about making sure that the product stands out and it does what it says on the tin.
So you had a morning shoot. What time did you get sign off from the line management on the egg?
Oh well, we went from about 9:30, and we didn't end up. We did two shoots that day, and we ended up kind of around 9 o'clock.
P.M.
And
was there kind of a waiting time to get sign off on how well the Brussels sprouts looked in the photograph?
No, it was basically what happened there was we had everybody on set, but the thing is, like, you're going to blow that up, so it's huge and humongous. It's going to be on billboards all over the country.
Yeah.
So you want to make sure that is perfect, that there's no mistake. And because you're blowing it up so small, every detail gets highlighted. So, yeah, it's you know what? It's one of those things. It is a long day, but it is absolutely the best job in the world.
Because
you actually don't feel like you're working. It feels like you're doing. Yeah, it's fantastic.
So when you make a chicken look like it's something out of a movie or a postcard or indeed one of your own posters, and then we see the chicken ourselves. Like if you saw me trying to cook a chicken, I mean, it's comical. It's like Laurel and Hardy on tour. So, and yet you make it look beautiful. What about the Trades Description Act? So you're saying this could be yours, and then we get it. It's like kind of Tinder, but with food. And you see a picture of someone, and you meet them. You go, ah, so what are we to do with that? Are you peddling a lie? Are you selling a lie, Johan?
No. What's happened is in the past. There would have been stuff involved like wood stain and stuff like that. Part of that was because of the way that photography was. You had to take it on a negative that had to be developed. The lighting usually was really hot lights. And food was very aspirational back in that day, whereas now food is more achievable or should be attainable. And it's loosened up a lot. Like if you kind of see how the food around Donna Hayes did a great thing in terms of just lightening up food and making it fresh and vibrant. So if you go from that to like the likes of Jamie Oliver, where food is done fast and really beautiful and kind of over, there's so much of it, so much abundance of it there. So getting back to the chicken thing, like that's probably where I heard about it the first time is somebody in South Africa was saying to me how they wood stained it and then smoked a cigar at the back of it to kind of make the smoke happen. You wouldn't do that anymore. I wouldn't. What I would do is, for example, I came across this technique is where they kind of brine turkeys in America to kind of make them moist.
Yeah.
So what I would do is I would brine the chicken or the turkey the night before so it kind of swells up. In a salt solution, which is totally legal. And you do that anyway. I'm doing it at the moment. I'm doing it for a cookery class.
Mm.
So, and then what you would do is you'd cook it, but you wouldn't necessarily cook it all the way. And then the great thing about this job is you get an amazing kit. So at the moment I've ordered like this blowtorch that's coming in from the States. And what it is similar to what you would do sous vide cooking.
Yes.
Where you basically water boil it or boil it in the bag and then you brown the skin. So either that or I use another thing called Kitchen Bouquet, which is like also over from America, but it's like a browning agent, edible. And you just use that to kind of brush it on because you don't want the chicken to look completely dried out and
it needs to sparkle. But I'm looking at some of your handiwork here on foodstyle.ie, and the one that strikes me, because I love it, is the red fruit and black rose, right, that you did.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's like something out of, you know, just World War I/II. It's that, beautiful on a, like an English country table in the summertime. It's quite sumptuous.
That was done by a wonderful photographer over in England called James Byrne.
It's lovely.
Who I flew over with. I flew over to do testing with him. And it was in his studio. There was no cooking facilities. A friend of mine's partner was from New Zealand, so they had all these beautiful stuff in their house. And then in this studio, there was this dried out rose, and I just picked that up. And it was kind of one of those spur of the moment kind of shots, which some of the best ones are just like that, you know?
Well, they look great. And I can see your handiwork there, and I have to say you're very good at what you do. Johan, thank you for your time today. It's lovely to talk to you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much indeed.